This is the Sports Haven Podcast, coming to you live from Seattle, Washington, with your hosts, Jeff Budke and producer Ben. Visit us online at safeplaysports.com.
Welcome to the Sports Haven Podcast. My name is Jeff Budke. We are a man down. Producer Ben gets the week off. Yeah, you work him too hard sometimes, doesn't write anything, and he takes the night off. But we do have a very special show for you. Trevor White coming on the show to talk movies and basketball. Trevor's a licensed physician, but his true love is found in the theater and on the hardwood. Trevor, it's great to have you here.
It's great to be here, guys, and I love talking to the Sports Haven Nation. I love the population of fans that listen to your podcast and check out your website. I think it's a great thing. So I'm very thankful to be on here. And I'm also doctor of love, basketball, and movies. So I really am a specialized physician.
Yeah, you know that backup for Love Line? That's Trevor White right here. Mm-hmm. So we're in good company. If you want to check out our website, you can check out safeplaysports.com. Let's get right into it. Dwight Howard, back surgery. Mm-hmm. I don't know who is hurt more by this, the Diet Pepsi can company that gets on all of Stan Van Gundy's press conferences, or the Magic themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, really, the major casualty here is Chris Anderson's corpse.
Okay.
I think that he's going to have a hard time.
Is that the Birdman? Is that Chris Anderson?
No. We're talking about the three-point shooter.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
For the Magic, the power forward. It really, you know, is going to make the Indiana-Orlando series to come.
Yeah.
Which is most likely what's going to happen.
Based on your predictions.
Yes, is going to be a much sadder thing. And to be honest, the Magic had a really good chance at challenging a team like the Heat in the second round series, perhaps, if they matched up. And that's going to be a sad thing. But I think the biggest casualty, like we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. is going to be the U.S. Olympic team, who's now going to be searching for a starting center.
So they're going to go with the starting five going into the Olympics would have been Derrick Rose, Kevin Durant,
Brian Scalabrine,
LeBron, and D Wade, and maybe Melo, and then Dwight Howard taking up the five. I think I just named six players there, but we'll
starting six. Yeah,
starting six. That's why they are so good in the Olympics.
Yeah, the dream team.
Euro basketball. I just don't understand it. But who is the backup five for that team now?
Well, is Andrew Bynum allowed to be on the team?
We'll get the intern on that. Let's see. I'm trying to think of another five man. Bynum would probably be considered, but I don't think the Lakers would let him do it because of his injury problems.
Well, I think that the NBA is a pretty big fan of their guys going over and this because it's really good free publicity for them, and especially a guy like Andrew Bynum, it would really help him. It was great on the broadcast. Whenever they talk about Andrew Bynum, they always mention, you know, really been working on his maturity. Really been, you know, like he's getting to the gym early, putting up some maturity shots, you know, just doing some role play and making sure that he's still mature.
How do you measure that? Like, he jumped really high for that rebound. Yeah. That's maturity.
Yeah, Andrew Bynum, he's got, you know, great stat line against the Spurs, 30 rebounds, 17 points, and four mature moments. it's kind of a hard thing.
He didn't knock J.J. Barea out.
Yes, this one. Well, and you know what's great is that he's been supplanted as the most immature player in basketball by Delonte West of the West Willie.
The West Willie. Back to the Magic really quickly. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking the East is almost defaulted to Chicago and Miami. Boston's making a little bit of a run. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We thought Orlando had a chance. Now Indiana's going to end up with that three seed. Can they make a run?
Perhaps. One thing I would like to mention before we get further into the East conversation is the tragedy, really, of the Atlanta Hawks. They are literally the least interesting team in basketball. And we're talking about the basketball league with the Toronto Raptors.
And the Charlotte Bobcats, who are 7-53.
Why do they never get talked about? I mean, they're literally, aren't they the 5 seed right now? I think they're the 5 seed in the East. And we would talk about the Bobcats more because they have the chance of getting Anthony Davis. But the Hawks consistently put out good teams that underperform in the playoffs and win a decent amount of games. like every two games. And that's just kind of a sad thing. But yes, the Pacers do have a good shot. They have Roy Hibbert, who is probably the best center in the East, to be honest.
Now that Howard's out.
Now that Howard's out.
And Bogan got traded to Golden State. So
yeah.
Who's left?
Right. Bargnani.
Lopez, who's been hurt. Bargnani.
And so it's kind of a thing where the Pacers, I think they're still a year away from being a legitimate contender, but they're a fun team to watch. Do you buy the Knicks mojo?
Man. No. I don't. Mm-hmm. Is there? Do you have any reason that I should? Because I like Melo. I loved him in the 2008 Olympic squad. Mm-hmm. I was actually very surprised at how well he played during that Olympics. But then, since then, I felt his career has gone down a little bit because he is so reluctant to give the ball up. He likes shooting 35, 40 times a game. Maybe that's what the Knicks need.
Maybe. And I guess what I would say is we're going to talk about MVP in a little bit, I know. A bit really important thing come playoff time is who's going to be the most efficient playoff player, performer. And last year you saw a guy like Dirk Nowitzki can carry a team that is generally mediocre to a championship. And Carmelo is that same type of player that if you need 2 points, he's the kind of guy that can get 2 points for you.
Okay.
But it's going to be hard to see. It's hard to imagine them surpassing the Heat in a 7-game series.
I would like to see that in the first round, though. I don't mind saying that at all.
I would love it. And, the Magic, not the Orlando Magic.
But the Magic.
The NBA gods Magic is pointed towards them because the last lockout shortened season, they were an 8 seed, pulled off an upset.
That's correct.
Against the Heat.
Lost in the finals to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Correct. San Antonio Spurs.
Yep, exactly what I meant to say. Trevor White, we didn't introduce you that much, just a little bit. You're from Southern California, from the Great River. Man. What county are you from? You want to represent?
The land of milk and honey, Riverside, California.
Yeah, give a shout out there to all the homies in Riverside.
Yep.
You got to attend a Los Angeles Clippers game in Staples Center this year. Seeing them live in person, was it awesome? That's the question I want to ask. It's not a very great question, but was it awesome?
And awesome is a great way to describe it. And unfortunately, I went on a night when they were playing a semi-pro team called the New Orleans Hornets.
Oh, I heard they just got purchased, so they might be coming up to the NBA
right.
now.
They
cool,
might be.
That's very cool.
They might be. I think they got to go D-League first and then the NBA.
Okay.
So I think they're playing in a Mexican basketball association right now. Yeah. But it was a fun game to watch. And
the NBA.
Yes. Blake Griffin's the kind of guy, when you watch him, he's got a magnetic feel on the court because you know that he can do something freaky, you know, that's just going to defy your understanding of gravity. And Chris Paul is just literally the best ball player right now in basketball. With the ball, I trust no one more than Chris Paul.
Is that, you're talking about ball handling, or you're talking about just game control?
Just the way that he can control the game. I mean, he has the ball, he'll make the right pass. Every possession is a gem for him, and he always comes up with something good. And if the shot clock is running down, he has a great shot he can pull out of his hat, and he makes the great passes all the time to a mediocre supporting cast there in Clipperland. Other than Blake Griffin, you got a lot of guys that struggle offensively.
Yeah.
Nick Young has been semi-effective for them since the trade, but they really do have some magic there that they need to figure out how to use.
Absolutely, we'll see if that goes into the playoffs. We definitely want to touch on. I grew up in an area. I got to watch Kevin Love throughout high school.
Mm-hmm.
You got to watch him as a UCLA fan, play for your school, shoot full court heaves and drain them during pre games.
Yep,
I. Well, let's talk about this season first before we get into his contract. But did you expect this kind of rise from him? Because I certainly did not, and am teased mercilessly for it.
Yeah, you were the one that made the prediction that he would not be a good pro.
I compared him to Joakim Noah at one point.
Which is a fair comparison, because they're very similar.
Exact same player.
I'm impressed and surprised at the same time.
Okay, very good.
And I find him to be just a very great basketball player. Yeah. That all, I mean, similar to Chris Paul, that he's making the right play almost all the time. And he knows his limitations, which is what makes him one of the best basketball players in the NBA right now.
And then he's taking those limitations. He's taking being a pretty good three-point shooter and developing in the offseason in a way that we don't always see with great players.
Yeah.
Like, he's added a notch to his game every year.
Yeah, and he lost weight over in the offseason, and everyone thought it would hurt his game, but it's really helped him because I think he has a concept of what he wants to be as a basketball player, which is kind of a kick-ass low-post player that gets a lot of rebounds but is also able to take his game on the perimeter and, you know, make use of his mismatches.
Now, he signed that contract with Minnesota, and as much as I love the small town, you know, getting – or the small market. It's not a small town. The small market getting the team. I'm from Portland. I love seeing those guys re-signed. Wouldn't Kevin Love – have been the greatest replacement for Carlos Boozer, who is aging so quickly for the Chicago Bulls? A team with a healthy Derrick Rose and Kevin Love. I would take that squad against anyone right now. Obviously, with other players on it, maybe not just those two.
Yeah.
But your thoughts on Kevin Love, if he had played somewhere else, well, his opportunities with someone else?
It's surprising that the Bulls literally can't sign an important free agent.
Well, no.
Like, I don't know why Derrick Rose... If I was a young basketball player, which I am...
Yes.
But I would definitely want to be playing with Derrick Rose. He's a guy that would be a lot of fun to play with. He brings a lot of intensity. But they can't seem to get anyone to sign. And I think even if he was a free agent, they wouldn't have got him to sign there. Because he doesn't... The type of game basketball they play is not helpful for his game. He needs a guy like Ricky Rubio that's going to be able to pass in the lane. Derrick Rose gets in the lane and is going to take a shot most of the times he gets there. So I think Kevin Love has served himself better by going staying in Minnesota. He's also able to be the star, which I think does matter to him in some ways. So that's good to see. But I really want them to build that team up. I think they can.
Yes or no, Ricky Rubio will be an all-star, not just from popularity vote. In the next 3 years.
Yes, for sure. In the next 3 years. I wouldn't say next year.
Okay.
But in the next 3 years for sure, because he just has a superfluous basketball game. He brings a new feel to it than we've seen before. And players like that always get rewarded with that kind of...
It was a true shame that he got hurt, because I had high hopes that the 2009 draft class would have three straight Rookie of the Years.
That would be amazing.
That would have been really cool, because Blake Griffin won it a year removed because of his kneecap breaking, and then I thought maybe Rubio had a chance this year. Speaking of Rookie of the Year, I think Kyrie Irving's got this in the bag. I would be absolutely shocked if it went to anyone else. Your thoughts on the one-time Duke Blue Devil great playing for Cleveland?
Yeah, you know, I definitely was not high on him coming out of the draft. I felt like, you know, Derek Williams was by far the best player in this draft class. But I've been surprised and proved wrong, because he is a great basketball player, does a great job with that franchise, and is really what they needed after, what was the name of the guy that, was it LeBron?
He was number 23.
Yeah, he played there, he signed somewhere else.
Yeah.
Anyways, so he's really helped that franchise. And, I mean, you know, who was the biggest Duke Blue Devil to go pro before him? Cherokee Parks?
Probably the best Duke pro, and we were laughing about this earlier, it might be Shane Battier. He might be the best. He's still going.
Yeah.
Grant Hill's still going, so, I mean...
Grant Hill was, you know, killed by
the injury bug, yeah.
And the Jordan hype, too. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's good to see him succeed. He seems like a good kid. Unfortunate, because I don't like Duke, to see a kid like that doing well in the pros. Yeah. That'll help them with recruiting, where I know they've been hurting because they haven't turned out, you know, again and again, great professional prospects. So we'll see kind of how that changes things in the future for Coach K. But it's good to see Kyrie Irving do well. He's definitely a Rookie of the Year.
And Duke's recruiting class right now, it's quite bad.
One top 100 prospect. And it's, you know, the recruiting the way it is now with college basketball, you got to be able to develop a player for the professional game.
Right away.
Yeah, and turn them into a solid professional player, which has helped teams like Kentucky, and has even helped UCLA recently because of the dearth of NBA success for former UCLA players right now, that if you can provide, like, turn a high school prospect into an NBA prospect, then you're going to have a lot of talent coming your way.
I'm going to end on this before the break. Quick answer. More of a contributing factor to Duke's lack of star recruits. Is it the NBA talent that's flowing through there, or Coach K coaching the Olympic team maybe being a little distracted?
I'm going to answer Coach K's vagina.
Before we get into the greatest segment of all time on this podcast, how many qualifiers can I put in there with the movie section with Trevor White? I want to get you out on some quick hits here. Not what team will, like obviously Charlotte has the best chance, but which team do you want to see Anthony Davis play for of the quote-unquote bottom teams?
Yeah, I think I'd prefer him to play for his local orthodontic or dermatologist sponsored Little League team would probably be the best, I think, for him, the best move for him.
What team do you hate more, Kentucky or Duke?
Kentucky and Duke.
Oh, okay. Who is going to win the MVP for this year?
Is Brian Scalabrine one of the candidates, or is he going to be a write-in ballot?
He's probably going to be a write-in ballot.
Okay. Brian Scalabrine is my first choice. Second choice is Kevin Durant.
San Antonio Spurs, real or not real?
San Antonio Spurs are real this year, I think. Tony Parker is having an MVP season.
Yeah, I'm wondering if the only team they really couldn't have played last year was Memphis, and they got him in the first round. I'm not quite sure. I don't have an answer for that yet, so you say real.
Real.
Defensive player of the year.
Amon Shumpert.
Knicks?
Mm-hmm.
Can't believe I have to ask this stuff. All right, let's get into the movies.
All right, let's talk some movies.
I was looking into upcoming summer releases, and I was just very impressed with the lineup coming up. I'm a big Batman fan, and I was thinking to myself, I don't know enough about movies, or apparently basketball. but I was like, man, I got to get someone on here to talk about what's going on this summer, what's going crazy. I was watching Conan. The Conan O'Brien show, when Ron Burgundy came out to announce that Anchorman 2 was officially in the making.
Yep.
Last year, was that 2 years ago that Hangover 2 came out?
It was 2 years ago.
You warned me. You said, Jeff, don't get your hopes up. I got my hopes up anyway.
Yeah.
I went and saw it, and I think if my expectations had been lower, it would have been fine. Yeah. But I was very disappointed in the $14 I spent, or whatever horrible prices they
are. Fair.
Anchorman 2. Am I allowed to be excited?
I think you're allowed to be excited because Hangover 2, what made it terrible was the fact that the original movie was so fixated on this really high concept plot. And Anchorman isn't quite as wrapped around that. So Anchorman can continue with the narrative without having to retread everything again and again. And that's what caught Hangover 2 in the debacle that it was.
In the rut.
Right. And I mean, really, you know, a critical debacle of financial success. So, you know, ipso facto.
Lanolin.
Anyways.
Lanolin? Like sheep.
So, Anchorman's going to be exciting. I'm just worried that they're going to get everyone on board. Because now Paul Rudd and Steve Carell aren't, you know, random guys that are doing comedy these days. They're A-list stars in the comedy world as well. So they're headlining their own movies. We'll see if they can all get on board again together. And hopefully more Vince Vaughn cameos.
That'd be great.
More, you know, Brick Tamland, you know, walking around with a grenade in his hand.
Yeah, that's what we all want.
I'm very excited about Anchorman 2.
A couple weeks ago, I was out with a friend, and she said, do you want to go see Hunger Games? I had never heard of the book or the movie, and I was so fixated on this movie. I was just blown away by how much I enjoyed it. Hunger Games, what did you think about it, and had you read the books beforehand?
Yeah, I've read the book and was excited for the movie, but I think I was, I would say that I was kind of optimistic, but not hopeful. I thought it was going to be good. I hoped it was going to be good.
Yeah.
I didn't think that it could pull through with what I hoped, especially with the casting of Lenny Kravitz as Cinna. And that was unfortunate. But other than that, they really did a good job.
But you
and
had to have been excited about Woody Harrelson.
I was very excited about Woody Harrelson. He was perfect for Haymitch.
It was.
And it's hard because people that whenever you read a book and you compare it to the movie, your imagination and the movie are never going to coalesce. So you can't necessarily hold it up to the expectation of, that's not how I imagined it. Mm. Because if you say that, of course it's not how you imagined it. You have a completely unique fantasy life.
Yeah.
And so
hopefully,
with a movie like Hunger Games, based on a wildly popular book, you have to kind of take it for what it is and hope that it reaches some of your expectations. And I think it definitely did. It's hard with the first book because characters like PETA and Gale aren't really given time to be fleshed out. PETA's kind of a wuss, to be honest, okay, in the first movie and book. Mm-hmm. And Gale is hardly in it. And so, really, the focus of the whole movie is Katniss, played by Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
And she does an amazing job. She carries the movie on her back, like Kevin Durant wearing his backpack and then the conferences afterwards.
Yeah. I love that backpack.
And she is the Kevin Durant of this movie.
Okay.
And she does a great job of showing not only the feral nature of Katniss and the survivor that she is, but also the tender side of her that cares for PETA, that cares for Gale, that cares for Rue, that cares for Prim. And she can kind of wrestle that kind of tender, loving side of herself with this really animalistic side of that survives the Hunger Games. Sorry, spoiler. Anyways, it's a worthy movie to check out. It's an event, and mm-hmm, it's definitely a great precursor to the summer films.
Hmm. So we're going to get away from movies that have been out for a month and mm-hmm away from movies that aren't going to be released for another 2 years mm-hmm and get into some movies we should be excited for. We should maybe some movies we should avoid. I'm going to let Trevor, you're going to make some picks for us.
Mm-hmm.
Encourage the fans to go see A, B, or C. I haven't even seen your list. I'm very excited.
Yeah, and it right now is a great time of year for movies because we're really revving up. And, I mean, the winter is known as just the wasteland for movie releases. Nothing important really comes out. So right
Johnny
now
Depp films. And
yes, exactly. So right now we're really getting into what is going to be exciting, where all the money has been poured into, other than John Carter, which all the money got poured into Disney's debt collectors. And so the first movie that I will recommend as a primer for the summer films is Cabin in the Woods. I saw this film last week, came out, and it does a great job. The setup, I can tell you a very small bit of this, fraction of this, without being spoileristic.
Okay.
So I'm not going to say too much. Essentially, a group of high school kids take a motorhome to this cabin in the woods that's supposed to be their cousin's to have a great time over the weekend. From there,
things escalate.
Things escalate. It's highly meta, though. Highly meta.
Okay.
If you know what I mean by that. It's got a lot of things going on within this plot. It's not just, these are these kids. This is what we're watching. You're watching a lot of things that are outside of that, and that's just kind of a fraction of what's going on. So, great movie, and also written by Joss Whedon. He of Firefly, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and Serenity fame. Well known in the, the geek cult. And he is someone that you're going to want to get familiar with because on May 7th, The Avengers is coming out. The first tentpole of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And The Avengers, as we all know, is all of Marvel superheroes getting together to kick some ass.
Now, I know that this is going to make me sound a little bit less than a Marvel fan.
Mm-hmm.
But could you kind of throw out, like, I know the Hulk, Iron Man, Captain America. I haven't seen Spider-Man in this.
Mm-hmm.
Not happening?
No. Well, the Avengers are a special team that's set up by Nick Fury, who's played by the effervescent Samuel Jackson in this, with an eye patch on. And so he arranges this team of superheroes that are all in the Marvel Universe.
Yes.
So you're right. Iron Man, Hulk. You got Captain America. Okay, you got Thor.
That's right.
You have
Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson, who's playing Black Widow.
Okay. I will refer to her as Scarlett,
you have,
probably.
Jeremy Renner, who's playing Hawkeye. He's being introduced in this film. He's an archer, so that's exciting.
Renner played – he was in The Town, correct?
He was in The Town.
He did
Hurt Locker.
That's right. He's a fantastic actor.
And, you know, cashing in on in this movie.
Yep.
And this is going to be an exciting movie. A lot of money is being spent on it, but Joss Whedon is great, and you see that in Cabin in the Woods, the same influence, because so much of his writing is tongue-in-cheek, and he also has a very Byzantine feel to a lot of how he writes, because it's so ancient-sounding, but it's also hilarious. So if you really, you know, are smart, which all of these listeners are, you're going to get the jokes.
Okay.
And if not, then you're not going to get it, and you can just make fun of the people that don't get it in the movie theater. So you feel smart. You get to watch superheroes kick some aliens' ass.
Okay.
And it's just a great, fun time with all of your favorite actors. Robert Downey Jr. is turning out for this one. Mark Ruffalo, who's better known as Queen Anne Mom's Wet Dream. And it's just a great time. So I'm really excited for this one.
That was a Seattle joke for everyone listening in the other parts of the country.
Yeah. And so it's going to be a good movie. That's one to look forward to. Other big hits coming out this summer. We have Prometheus coming out.
Now, that is one I was going to bring up if you did not. Right. Because not only is Charlize Theron a good friend of mine, but I love a good alien movie. Love a good alien movie, and I wanted to ask you if there's reasons I should be nervous about this or not.
I think none reasons to be nervous.
None.
Charlize Theron does naked push-ups in this movie.
Okay.
I would, you know, that sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, I know because I communicate with her all the time. Like, I'm sure she was nervous about it, but I think she did good.
She's put that past her.
Yeah.
She's really been able to embrace this role.
Cool.
Step out of her, you know.
Shell
that she has.
Her Italian job.
Yeah.
Shell.
And so this is an exciting movie. It's a prequel. Ridley Scott is really hesitant to call this a prequel to Alien. He says it's set in the same universe. And I'm, for those listening on the radio, which is everyone, I'm using the quotation marks on that. Essentially, it's a prequel. So it's going to show us how we got to the Alien movies. And it's got a great vibe to it. The marketing is brilliant. Well, there's a TED Talk with Guy Pearce playing Peter Weyland, who's the engineer that sets off this whole journey to outer space to find the beginnings and origins of humanity. So it's going to be an exciting movie, definitely one to turn out for. another movie coming out around the same time that's exciting and also stars your good friend is Snow White and the Huntsman.
And Thor is in this as well. Kristen...
And Bella
that's
from
right.
Twilight's in this, and Charlize Theron's in it.
Okay.
And this is kind of...
Stewart.
Right, Kristen Stewart.
Stewart, there we go.
She's your girl. So this is, taking the classic tale of Snow White and turning it into a little more of a fantasy action movie.
Now, Freeman, didn't the Snow White movie just get released with Julia Roberts?
Mm-hmm.
I assume it's not the same thing.
It's called Mirror Mirror, and they kind of went for more of a slapstick comedy thing, and they got slapsticked right out of the box office.
That's
they
stupid.
Barely made any money,
and
it's totally forgettable kind of thing. The director of The Fall did that one. I don't know. The Fall is kind of an indie darling, and he's now, you know,
doing
gallivanting
mirror.
Around with Julia Roberts making slapstick comedies. And so this is exciting because it's got a lot of astonishing visuals in the trailer. It's one of those where you hope that they can go beyond what they're just showing because it's one that could be a classic great buzz machine and then dies when you get to the movie theater. But it seems really interesting. Never seen a Snow White interpretation that focused so much on the hunter that is sent out to kill Snow White, and it looks like it's got a little more of a political struggle involved too, instead of just a fantasy, you know, struggle for vanity like the original tale is. So it's going to be good. I think that's one to check out.
Okay. Is there any reason for me to go see the Three Stooges?
No.
Okay.
I think that's fair.
Is there any reason for me to be nervous about Batman?
I think there's totally reason. I mean, anytime you
That's not what I want to hear at all.
Anytime you have a movie that brought so much feeling out of people.
The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
So many people attached so much to that movie, calling it the greatest film of all time.
Wow.
Comparing it to the greatest, you know, the second acts of trilogies. Anytime you have that kind of buzz around a movie and you try to make another one, it's going to be a hard thing. I mean, people were worried about The Dark Knight when it was coming out. Now, can you imagine what the fear that people have about Dark Knight Rises? And you got to hope that Christopher Nolan does not give in to his own sensibility or doesn't give in to his own self-indulgent potential and ruin this.
But Nolan has been the definition of on fire. I mean, from Memento and now the last five movies he's made, the first Batman Begins with Christian Bale, The Prestige, Inception, Dark Knight, and now Dark Knight. That's a good track record.
It is, that's the only reason I'm worried. And to me,
if a batter's going 5 for 5, you're like, well,
right,
I was probably not going to go for 6 for 6.
And I wasn't, I thought Inception was a good movie, but I also thought it showed some shortcomings as a filmmaker. So I'm really hoping that he can wrap this up in the way that I think it's fitting to the franchise. And I hope that he's not going to pull any punches. Like, I am probably the minority that hopes that Batman dies at the end of the movie. I think that's probably the most fitting way for the trilogy to end, and the way that he's created it. So we'll see. We'll see how this goes. But I mean, obviously, go. Like, I'm not saying don't go, but it's one that I hope people don't just say, "Oh, it's amazing because it's The Dark Knight Rises."
Anne Hathaway made me very nervous when I saw her on the cast list, but on the trailer, I was intrigued.
It looks good.
Great, Trevor. It was great to have you in here.
Always great to be here for the first time and many more times to come, hopefully.
Yeah, we're going
to
continue this movie theme throughout the blockbuster time of the year now that winter is dead. Always winter, never Christmas is no more. We are upward and onward into better things. Anything you'd like to say to the fans as you take off?
I'm just thankful to be a part of your lives this evening, wherever you're listening from. And just want to give a shout out to all my peeps and my homeboys. And I hope that you just really take what we said here and believe it as gospel truth that it is.
Thanks, everyone. We'll talk soon.
ESPN Radio.
Damn it. And, all right. So, let's take a break there. Oh, shit. I hate when I do that. Now, before we get into the greatest segment of the podcast we've ever had with the movies, I want to get you out on some quick hits. What team do you want to see Anthony Davis playing for? Hold on. Shit, we're not doing that. Man. All right, we're doing a voice check here. I'm here with Trevor White. Trevor, what's going on, man?
Hey, hey, hey. I'm here right now.
Looks like it's picking up pretty well.
It's got me.
Yeah, what would you like your voice set on?
Preferably sexy male.
Yeah.
1-800 line caller.
I think that's like a 1-600 line. Not that I would know.
Yeah.